Hey guys, how you doing? It's Coach Trex here, the founder of 30 Plus Men's Fitness, and I want to say a big welcome to the next edition of the 30 Plus Men's Fitness podcast. Now, guys, if you're getting this, you're listening to this, I may have sent it out to you as a gift on Christmas Eve, because I'm actually recording it on the 23rd of December. And the guest that I'm joined by today is absolutely blown up in the industry this year. He's based out in Sydney, although he is an Englishman, and he was recently back in the UK where I tried to collar him and meet up in person, but he was meeting the likes of Jamie Alderton, Phil Lurley and Martin McDonald, who are far more important than me at this moment in time. But he did agree to come on the podcast, says he hasn't done many podcasts and he's really excited about jumping on. So the time in Cardiff as I record this is 20 to 9. And the time in Sydney, James, is?
I think we're 20 to 8 in the morning.
Yeah, so that voice you hear, you've probably heard it a million times this year, is James Smith. How are you, James?
I'm very good, thanks. nice early morning here. Did have a couple of beers last night, but I'm living to tell the tale. I'm up and I'm ready to go for the podcast.
Good man, awesome. I really appreciate you coming on. I know you've had a busy one. I did see you very drunk last night on your Instagram story. Well, not yours. I indirectly started following your partner because I've seen you tagging her in stuff. And yeah, you were snoring and dribbling into her breasts, mate. We've all done it.
She seems to get me with that all the time. And she says to me, she goes, James, I've bloody got 100 new followers since you tagged me in something. But yeah, she's got a lot of leverage on me now. You know, if I'm ever eating, I was in the biscuit tin the other day, straight on the Insta story.
Brilliant.
I've got to keep this image of me being a personal trainer. You can't get me with a biscuit tin three times a day on the story.
Good man. Well, look, James, we're going to get into it. I said to you just before we started recording that my guys have been sharing a lot of your videos this year, and there's a lot of conversation. You always seem to spark conversation and controversy if somebody shares one of your videos. So I thought, you know what, let's get James on. I saw you back home recently, actually. I know you live in Bracknell, and I was down that way on business, but you were, I think you'd driven up to see Jamie Alderton. So look, we're recording this podcast. We're going to get out to our followers on Christmas Day. We're going to shoot the shit. We're going to talk about all the current trends in the industry. We're going to go right back and talk about how you got into fitness. We're also going to talk about one thing that we actually have in common, which we'll get onto. But before we start, just tell people that have been living under a rock this year, who is James Smith? I know he's not quite 30. I know he's 28, but it's still good to have you on, dude.
Rewind a year and a half, I consider myself just a very much normal personal trainer. I was servicing the long weeks, doing the long hours, you know, 30, 40 sessions of PT a week. In my spare time, I'd go to a Waitrose cafe, try and put out, you know, a blog or an article. And I was kind of finding my feet with social media in the sense, what was engaging, what wasn't. Maybe had, if we rewind, say, I don't know, 18 months, I had maybe 2,500 followers, and I didn't even have a business Instagram account. So, you know, and as far as personal training, I wasn't charging anything crazy. You know, demand was there, but it was nothing, you know, out of the ordinary. And it's really only since I decided to move to Australia that I kind of stepped up the social media game a bit. So, you know, as far as if I look at influencers in the industry, they've got there because they're incredibly knowledgeable or they've got incredible physiques or usually a mixture of both. And neither of those particularly actually got me to the position I'm in now. So, you know, people are like, oh, you're so intelligent. I'm like, well, I'm really not. People go, oh, you're such a natural on camera. You should see my early recordings. So, you know, not to play myself down or what I've done, but just a regular personal trainer that's, excellent, you know, probably seen a bit of a gap in the market on social media and gone for it.
Superb, mate. Superb. Well, look, let's go right back. You're, like you said, you're 28 now. Tell me a little bit about what led you to get into fitness, because everyone's always got their own really cool story. What got you into exercise and health and fitness, James?
So I played rugby when I was younger, got into it when I was about 14. I was actually a bit of a late adapter to it. And just trying to pursue really ambitions with rugby, I went down the path of going to Hartbury College, which will tie into probably our conversation with regards to Gloucester.
I know Hartbury College well, yeah.
I think, you know, and then I've been in Berkshire, it's a very small county. I think there was that real awakening when I went to Hartbury College. As you know, the standard of rugby in that part of the world is much, much better. And when I started living in halls, my housemates will still testify to this day that I lived off sausage rolls and baked beans. And, you know, there was probably quite a strong correlation between, you know, my performance, my composition. And I was looking at the players around me and they were just looking after themselves a lot better. And I couldn't have told you what carbohydrate was when I was studying, you know, degree level sports studies at university. It was something that just blew my mind. It was something I didn't take into consideration. Even at, 21, in the gym at Hartbury College, I couldn't deadlift my own body weight. So I wasn't really into lifting. I wasn't really into nutrition or any of that.
Sure.
If anything, the people that know me from uni are like, he's a what? He's a personal trainer. And then it was probably, I played rugby in New Zealand when I was 23. And that's when I was actually living with kind of academy athletes. And they were like, mate, you need to do this in the gym. You need to look into your nutrition. And because I was, you know, away from home and my mum wasn't sneaking sausages and chicken Kievs into my dinner most nights, I suddenly started taking charge of my own nutrition. I was like, hold on, I feel better, I'm performing better. Oh my God, I'm dropping weight. So it kind of fell into that. I was trying to pursue improvements in kind of rugby performance.
And, sure.
You know, I think I developed a bit of a chip on my shoulder, if I'm honest. I was like, why didn't I get taught this in school? Why hasn't someone got in front of me and said, James, mate, sausage rolls, I'm not going to get you what you want? And I suppose I've always had this kind of notion in the back of my head that if maybe someone had drilled into me the fundamentals of nutrition, things like that, could I have played at a higher level? You know, could sure. I have, you know, played first team at Hartbury or whatever it was? And that kind of kick-started this pursuit into learning more.
Excellent. So what age were you when you went to Hartbury College, buddy?
I was 20, maybe 21. So I did 2 years, a foundation degree. My parents actually said, I said, I'm going to go to university. They go, no, you're not. They're like, you know, you're a bit of a fuckwit. I got asked to leave school when I was 16 and got marched down to the job centre, enrolled into a VTEC.
Yeah.
And when I said, I'm going to university, they're like, no, you're not. They're like, you're not putting yourself in debt. You know, probably the best term was fuckwit. Then after I got a foundation degree, I was like, I'm going to go to a top-up year. And they were like, all right, you can go. And
brilliant.
And I flunked it.
Really? So you didn't, you flunked it at Hartbury, right?
Yeah, so quite a weird one. I got mumps in freshers. All of us got mumps. It was around the Bristol West Country, you know, too much snogging in freshers, whatever.
Yeah. You're spending too much time in crackers or KCs down in Las Vegas, weren't you?
Costa del Sol, probably, you know, liquid dance floor.
Yeah, love it.
Having a good rugby team, slut dropping and stuff like that. But I remember I had to go home for about 2 or 3 weeks. I was pretty ill. And I went back to uni. I walked into one of my lectures and I'd obviously not been to a lecture yet. And the kind of vibe was, can we help? So I was like, no. So I just turned around. And funnily enough, I heard rumours that if you don't hand in your coursework or you don't stay up to, you know, standards, you get kicked off the course. And I was living on campus and loving it. So all I did for the whole year, hopefully my parents aren't listening, is I handed in my cover letters with nothing attached. So if you hand in the cover letter, in essence, you've handed something in. It can't really be graded. It can be graded with no grade, but they can't kick you off the course.
Sure.
So I would just go to all of the, you know, whatever it was to hand an assignment to my mates. So I'm like, where's your assignment? I was like, I'm just putting in the cover letter so I don't get kicked off the campus.
Brilliant, mate. Brilliant. So how long did you spend down in Hartbury? A couple of years.
So, I've still got friends that are stuck there now. I was there and then, you know, I started living there afterwards. Funnily enough, did the year, failed uni. I came back. I was like, oh, mum, dad, I failed a couple of modules. So I'm not going to be able to do the whole course. Little did they know, I didn't even go to an exam.
Wow.
I claimed that I couldn't make it there because of snow. And they were like, James, mate, you live on campus. And then I kind of got in the bubble. I went to Cinderford for a season.
Stop. Cinderford, oh, but.
Oh,
what's going on, my babber? That be's where I'm from. That's literally where my family hails from, mate. Cinderford.
It's an interesting old place. I look back now and I think, I know people that are 21, 22 living in Sydney on Bondi Beach. There was me commuting to Cinderford in the rain to play rugby.
Mate, Cinderford is different gravy, mate. It's different gravy.
I remember having coins chucked at me when I was playing Lydney. You know, we'd have a bit of a derby coming out of tunnels and someone throw a 2p at you.
Yeah.
I was like, Jesus, this isn't Berkshire, that's for sure.
Mate, it was exactly the same because when I was growing up in Gloucester, if you played a team from the Forest, like Harrow Hill or something like that, mate, it was like even the parents who wanted to come on a pitch and beat you up, like, you know, it was terrible.
Played at Coney Hill. Our winger, this was for a Maidenhead, winger was going down the wing, and an onlooker pushed his bike out in front of him.
Oh, fuck, that's it, mate. Mate.
And I'm pretty sure someone got glassed at that game.
Mate, Coney Hill, mate. Well, I'll tell you, any of my friends now listening from Gloucester listening to this will laugh. Mate, how random that you're there now on Bondi Beach, but you've played rugby at Coney Hill and at Cinderford. Yeah. Things have kind of, they've turned for the up a little bit for you there, mate.
I think we could both agree on that. And funnily enough, my job when I was in Gloucester, I remember the same conversation. I said to my dad, gave me, like, I think it was £100 a month when I was at uni. You know, he was like, make sure you buy your bog roll, all of that. And he cut me off after uni, fair enough. I remember saying to him, I was like, oh, Dad, you know, I'm struggling with the bills and that. And he said to me, well, go down the job centre and sign on. And I said to him, what? Like, you sure? He goes, James, I've paid tax long enough in my life that, you know, if you genuinely need assistance, you can go to the state. I went down to the job centre. It didn't sit very well with me, and I took the very first job that came up.
Yeah.
So I never got a payout, and it was knocking on doors for Empower. So GL1 was my postcode, and I was a door-to-door salesman selling gas and electric at 21, 22.
In Gloucester.
I'm playing for Cinderford in the evening. So,
That's the dream right there. So where were you, like, the postcodes? Was that like Hucklecote, Tuffley?
I remember GL1, I was unrestricted. There was no other reps in the area. I could knock on any door I liked. And, you know, probably not the best postcode to be knocking on doors.
Yeah,
knock, knock, and they'd be like, here to read the meter. I'd be like, oh no, I'm from Empire, and they'd be like, fuck off.
Brilliant.
You've got a thick skin. People are like, oh, James, you're getting trolled in your videos. I'm like, well, mate, I used to knock on doors in GL1.
Do you know what?
I'm all right.
That's what it's all about. And I remember, actually, sort of slightly digressing, but I remember before I got into the fitness industry, and I was a courier, and I was delivering parcels in the valleys in basically a similar kind of estate to what we've mentioned as in Gloucester. And I remember the heaters broke on my van. I got bitten by a dog and I slipped in the snow, and I just thought, I'm fucking 27 now. I can't wake up at 30 and be doing this. And, you know, no matter how tired you are some days when you get up to go and coach or whatever, the kids have had me up all night. I remember being bitten by a dog in the heads of the valleys, and the heaters didn't work in my van, and I just smile, mate, you know what I mean? Do you know what? It's good to reflect sometimes, isn't it? To look back and see where you've come from.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I don't forget that for a second, and I've got friends now that are in their early 20s personal training, and they go, oh, you know, I've not got that much engagement on my social media posts. And I was like, listen, you know, I hate to say it, I'm like, when I was your age, you know, even after that, I went into an office environment, and I could not stand an office environment.
Sure.
And my friends now, even one of the lads I live with, who's a personal trainer, he complains about a bad day at work. I was like, I used to put on a suit for someone, go to work 9 till 5 to do something I didn't enjoy. You know, I think that the kind of work-life balance, and that's really kind of moving on to how I got into fitness.
Yeah.
I'm just over this corporate climb, and, you know, thinking, oh, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? KPIs, cool stats, you know.
Dude, I can go one better than that, right? Did you know much about Nuant? Did you spend any time in Nuant?
I actually played rugby for them for one game, and we had to get changed by our cars because I'm pretty sure there wasn't a clubhouse.
Dude, let me tell you this, right? When I was 16 years old and I in the school holidays, I was working for an agency. You just get a call in the morning. They'd say, right, do you want to go and cut some lawns? Yeah, great. Do you want to go and unload some, you know, lager off a lorry or down at a depot? Yeah, great. Anyway, got this call one morning. Do you want to go to Nuant and work in a chicken farm? It's like, yeah, we'll give it a go. Anyways, cut a long story short, my mate ended up in the warehouse just doing some kind of sweeping up or stuff. I went straight down on the production line, right? And this is no word of a lie. my job was to, I was fully like gowned up and I had all gloves on my hands, and the chickens would come in, they'd get hung up, stunned, then they'd get, you know, defeathered and killed. And my job was, as their body come down the production line, still warm, I had to rip out their intestines and then tie an elastic band around their legs. And people were doing that for 8 hours a day. And I was talking to people, and they were all someone's brother's, sister's, uncle's wife, and they were all related. They all had like souped up cars, and they'd all been there like 15 years. And I lasted 4 days, mate, and I had to get out. I don't know why, Karen, I ate chicken ever again after that, but yeah. It's kind of character building though, isn't it? Those kind of things.
Yeah, absolutely. I had some shocking work in, well, I went to the South Island in New Zealand as well, and I was playing rugby. And they got me a job coaching. I got sacked from it my first week for getting too drunk on a night out. I made an idiot of myself. And so I was unemployed playing rugby in South Island, New Zealand, in a town called Oamaru. And if I ever said to anyone, any Kiwis listening, they go, what the fuck were you doing in Oamaru? It was with North Otago. And I remember having to work on a forestry. I was applying for a job in the kind of meat works. You know, I ended up working with a sheep shearer. You know, and you know, this is 24 years old. Most personal trainers that get into the industry early are established at 24.
Yeah.
When I was 23, 24, I was helping a sheep shearer. I was wrestling sheep for someone else to clip them. And, you know, I was chopping wood. I actually was employed to chop wood for 3 days.
And you wrestled sheep? You wrestled sheep?
It's a little bit of technique, right? Because you've got several pens. They get smaller and smaller. And the first few pens, you have to trick the sheep. So you open a gate and they go, nah, I know what's going on here. They can hear the trimmers. So then you cause a commotion down the other end and they all run the other way. Then when they get in, they realise it's a trap and you've got to shut the gate on them. So that took a bit of time. But then as you get to the single pen, you know, get a sheep in a headlock and you've just got to put it in there, slam a gate on it, you're kicking it, all of that. Actually, no cruelty to sheep or animals will do me for saying that. And you know what, at 24, I was thinking, to where I've got today, I've done a lot. I've chopped wood, I've wrestled sheep, I've knocked on doors. You know, all-rounder.
Yeah. strings to Smith's bow.
That's right, yeah.
Sheep wrestler, door knocker. Fucking brilliant, mate. Brilliant, mate. I knew we'd get on. Okay, dude, look, let's try and... This could go massively off on a tangent, but it could be the podcast of the year, mate. All right, dude, so tell me a little bit then. You know, you flunked at Hartbury, you played rugby for a bit. Tell us about what came next and when you got into the industry, because I know you've only been in the industry 4 years and you're, what, 28 now, yeah?
Yeah, so, yeah, I suppose it was the same year I was 24, I actually went to Asia for a bit. You know, my old clients used to call me Peter Pan. They were like, you know, same reason I'm in Sydney. I get something in my head and I'm like, I'm going to do it. And when I was out there, I was living off 15 quid a day. And it really helped install this notion that, you know, I was just chasing money in the corporate world. I was like, hold on, if I could do anything irrelevant of money, you know, would fitness or would personal training be a good job? And I can't, you know, everyone has that fitness, you know, year where they're committed, they're weighing their food, they keep hashtagging IIFYM. That was me at 24. And, you know, some of my friends were coming to me, they're like, James, you know, we don't understand this, we don't understand that. And it was my sister who goes, James, why don't you become a personal trainer? So, you know, I thought, you know what, fuck it. All my friends, this funniest thing, my friend said to me, James, there's no money in personal training, you won't last a year.
Said the same thing to me, they all said the same thing, yeah.
Yeah, and funnily enough, that the same guy that said that, I paid for his flight to come out to Australia. So, you know, I suppose that instilled in me a little bit that I wanted to do well. And I did the course and I thought, you know what, if I'm shit at personal training, I'll do 6 months and go back into the corporate world.
Yeah. Who'd you do your course with, bud, just out of interest?
The training room?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. And that's Gloucester. Gloucester-based, isn't it, the training room?
But it could be. It could very well be. And I remember I had a lot of fun on the course, and, you know, it's like 6 weeks or whatever it was.
Oh, super intense, yeah.
I was like, is that it? I was like, am I supposed to go build a business with this? I didn't know anything about how to run a business or, you know, absolutely, I had no idea. But what I remember is in my course, no names, there were some guys, and again, probably good word, fuckwits. I was saying they didn't understand anything, and I realised that the course is 100% pass rate. You know, it wasn't, are these guys competent enough to be personal trainers? It was, you know, are these people competent enough to resit their exam until they pass, until the instructor wants to go home? And I remember they were interviewing with gyms like Pure Gym and David Lloyd, and some of them had been had offers from three gyms. And I thought to myself, hold on a second, this guy, you know, I was having to phonetically write out, you know, something like we're doing the anatomy of the body. It couldn't pronounce the words, so I was having to write it out phonetically and be like, mate, here you go, you know, this is wow. What it is. And I was thinking to myself, right, actually what this means to me is that these gyms don't give a shit about the quality of the trainers. They just want someone in to man the floor,
yeah.
You know, man the machines, wipe everything down. So when I did the course, I made a pretty bold decision to not go into a mainstream gym. There was a gym near where I lived in Bracknell, and it was privately owned. There was three gym facilities, one in Langley, one in Slough, one in Bracknell. And there was only one other personal trainer in there. 2,000, 3,000 members. And I thought to myself, maybe, you know, the first thing you think is personal trainer. If there's only one PT there, maybe no one's doing personal training. Maybe, you know, no one's doing it. And first day at work, I said to the gym manager, can I send out an introductory email to all your members? You know, email marketing, didn't know much about it at the time, but even working in the corporate world, I thought I'd just introduce myself. I can compose an email kind of thing.
Yeah.
And did an email, got my first 15, 20 clients just from that in my first couple of weeks. And,
brilliant.
You know, I had to find my feet, and, you know, we'll probably get into this a little bit more, but none of my clients were counting calories. They were all
sure.
eating clean.
Sure,
they were
sure. All, oh, we'll know, talk about this, yeah.
You know, yeah, just eat clean, you know, just train. You know, there was no real structure to the training. It was just, let's get you in, let's get you moving. And I had to kind of find my feet and learn how to personal train, how to, you know, run a business, how to manage my hours. And it is guessing game. It's a guessing game when you first start.
Yeah.
Saying yes to every session, you know, getting in at 6 a.m, leaving at 7 p.m. I probably speak to my parents more now I live in Sydney than I did when I was at home in my first year of personal training.
It's really interesting because if any people are listening that want to go into the industry, I remember when I was building my business as a one-to-one trainer before I set up 30 plus, and I was working 7 days a week. And it was funny because I remember when I was a courier, just thinking, I've got to do something I enjoy. I had my eureka moment, I'm going to be a PT. A lot of friends said, oh, I had a buddy that tried that, it didn't work, la la la. And I said, look, if this takes me 2 years to go full time, I'm going to do it. I'm going to build it up. I'm going to train my friends and family, etc., for free. And then within 6 months with that attitude, I was full time. And I did exactly what you did. I went into a gym where did you sort of pay per client rather than commit to a fixed rent?
I went in committed to the rent straight
right,
away.
Right,
I broke it down. I said to them, can you give me a couple months to build a business?
Yep.
And, you know, it was motivating at first, and I was thinking to myself, I thought, right, how many clients have I got to do? It was only £350 a month.
That's good.
This is in Bracknell, in Berkshire.
That's good.
I was knocking that out in a day after my first few
sure.
weeks. You know,
sure, like, yeah.
But a lot of personal trainers, I think that a lot of the time when people are faced with adversity or any risk or any challenge, a lot of the time people want to go for the safe route. And, you know, that's probably something that's helped me get to where I am now, where I thought, instead of going, oh, that's expensive, oh, I may not be able to pay it, I was like, worst case scenario, you know, what are the main implications? I'm just going to pay the rent, get on the floor, get talking to people, otherwise I'm going to be £350 down this month.
Yeah, absolutely, bud. And I think that probably what happened to you is similar to what happened to me. You get busy fast. I never got into the industry to make money. I was just like, I need to do something I enjoy. And then all of a sudden you're doing 40 hours a week at PT and you go, oh, actually, this is nice. I'm earning three times what I've earned before. But then you have no life. You're like working Saturdays, you're working Sundays. And I was thinking to myself, because I got into the industry at the age you are now, I got busy really fast. And then I'm sort of thinking to myself, well, what happened was I was doing some like 12, 13 sessions a day. I was forgetting clients' names. I was living off caffeine, like napping in a chair any 5 minutes I get in between clients. And I just got burnt out in the end. And then we're not going to go too much down this road. But that was when I thought to myself, there's got to be a better way. And when I started to set up boot camps and went online. I suppose that's one thing that people don't realise when they get into the industry is how unsociable it can be, right?
The best thing for me was that I was living with my parents, you know, and my parents were a real amazing support structure for me in the first few years, because I'd come home, Now, you know, it's only looking back now where if I'd gone into a corporate job, they went, look, James, you could work up to 12 hours a day. You're going to go to work twice in the day and you get 3.5 hours off for lunch. I'd say, I like your salary, but go fuck yourself. I'm not doing that. But, you know, there's that analogy that if you put a frog in hot water, it jumps out. But if you put a frog in cold water and heat it up slowly, it'll boil to death. And I think that that happens for you, me, and a lot of other personal trainers where we're like, fuck yeah, this is so good. We don't commoditize the hours. We don't rate ourselves. In my first 2 years, I did no personal development.
I worked
nothing on my skills. It was, you know, turn and burn, clients in, clients out, making money. And, you know, it's, yeah, you just... You become, like you say, burnt out, not wanting to hold a conversation. And there are times, I'm sure you can appreciate this as well, worst feeling in the world as a personal trainer is when your client leaves and you think, I didn't want to charge him for that. I want to give him their money back. But then, you know, you're like, because I was there for that session, but I wasn't there for
that session. Because you're knackered, yeah, totally, bud.
Yeah.
So look, so you obviously had a couple of years doing the one-to-one stuff in Bracknell, and then obviously decided to make the move to Sydney. Just so this is where you obviously started to get popular in the industry. So tell us about that decision to move to Sydney. I like you said, you just kind of do stuff on impulse, and then about the transition online.
I suppose I'll be perfectly honest with you. All right, so the reason to move to Sydney, I was fucked up at a festival in Croatia. So
mate, love it.
You know, I was hitting a lot of festivals, and you know, I was enjoying myself.
Of course, of course.
I was traveling a lot. You know, the cash life. Do you know travel agents don't let you book flights and stuff with cash now because people are like laundering their money into holidays. Sorry, HMRC. And I went to Croatia, and I was completely fucked up one night, and I was with these Aussie guys who were PTs, and you know, a couple pingers, you know, whatever. And just chatting to them, and I was like, oh, what's it like in Australia? They're like, it's the best place on earth. All of that. And then I went to the waterfalls in Croatia and Split. And I remember sitting in the back of a minivan chatting to this American guy. I was like, what'd you do? He's like, oh, I've got an online business. I travel the world. You know, my business runs in Miami, whatever. I was like, fucking hell, mate, that sounds great. And he said to me, read a book called The 4-Hour Workweek.
Brilliant.
And every time I get given any advice, I read it. So I noted it down. Got back from Croatia, probably in too much of a pickle to go to work, so I had this book. Sunny, you know, English summer, started reading it. And then it was a chapter in that book that says, the opposite of happiness is boredom. That fucking rocked me.
Wow.
I was at my garden. It was September. And these thoughts in my head, and I was like, I'm actually bored. The reason I'm spunking so much money on festivals and these big weekends away and bought myself a pair of Vilbrequin swim shorts for like £200. The reason I bought them for myself was because I was fucking bored.
Sure.
You know, I was doing the same stuff, going to the same gym. So, you know, there and then, reading that book, I went, I'm going to Australia. And I went to rugby, that training that night, and I even said to some of the boys, I think I'm going to go to Australia. They're like, yeah. Then at training one night, one of the lads stepped on my big toe in the line out, and I thought, this is it, I'm done. One big stud, big toe, I thought, fuck this shit. And I was gone 5 weeks later. One-way flight to Cairns via Bali. I only had about £5,000.
Yeah, I read that.
And I suppose one of the best things that I'd ever done was I've been running an email list. So as soon as I started travelling, I was like, oh, does anyone want to do online personal training? Got the first 5, 6, 7 clients. And again, then I had no fucking idea what I was doing. I said, look, pay me my hourly rate for the week and you'll get an hour of my time, you know, whenever you want. And I thought, hold on, this is actually a pretty good business model. You know, let me do your macros. I'll be there to chat. But some of the time I was coaching them in a sense of, hey, you know, when you go into the gym, take a video of your gym. Sweet. You got this here. And I became people's like friends. I was traveling Australia on Sundays. And again, now only 3,000 followers on Facebook.
Wow.
And I had this online business because, you know, the email list I've been, some people felt like they knew me a lot better, and you know, I was probably one step ahead with that. I did the Whit Sundays, you know, Fraser Island, traveled all down the East Coast, started doing more video based stuff because I was time poor. You know, I thought between getting pissed with, you know, backpackers or whatever, I'll sneak off, do a 5 minute video, go live, whatever. And my MacBook was from 2011, it was struggling a little bit, so you know, it was so slow. I was like, I can't be fucked waiting for these, you know, things to load or whatever. So started getting into posting on socials, started to, you know, build the online thing a bit. And the whole idea, I remember even when I moved to Sydney and made the decision, I was like, I'm going to wind down my online stuff and focus on my face-to-face PT.
Yeah, I read this, yeah, and then you said you struggled a little bit, right?
Oh, fucking hell, yeah. So I backpacked the whole East Coast, came down, got to Sydney, and I was like, you know what, I love it here. I'm going to give it a go in Sydney. Met up with a franchise that were going to look after me. They were going to take a chunk of my pay packet, but they paid all my overheads, got coaching, got mentorship. I thought that's going to be kind of perfect. And I flew home on Christmas Eve last year, so just about, give or take, a year ago, and I had to sell my Golf. I had a Golf GTI. I only had it a year, and I had to pay back all the finance. Basically, I lost about nearly $2,000 on it.
Sure.
So I just paid off the interest. And I remember Maidenhead called my mum. So we're talking, you know, less than a year ago. She goes, you sold your car? I went, yeah. I said, can you come get me? She's like, yeah, sure. So she came and picked me up. And I realised I was now $2,000 worse off. I no longer had a car. I'm 28 years old calling my mum to give me a, you know, a fucking lift. Saying, she picks me up. And I go, mum, we're going to have to go to the NatWest. She goes, why? I went, because I've literally got £8 in my bank account. And I've got £7 in my pocket, right? You know, that I've got out the ashtray. I'm going to go pay it in kind of thing. And it was all right because I had these online clients that were going to push me over. But I remember going into PayPal and looking for when my next payment was due.
Wow.
Which was in 2 days' time. I had like £14 to last me, you know, 2 days to my next payment.
Sure.
So, you know, living at home again, so I was very financially struck. When I went back to Sydney, I had to go Air China. I had to stop off in fucking Beijing for 13 hours. And then I got to Sydney. The franchise seemed like a good idea because I couldn't afford to pay for the first $4,000. And, you know, I couldn't afford to do all of this kind of thing. And PT environment here is very competitive. I went from a gym where there was four of us personal trainers to one where there was 32 personal trainers.
Wow, wow.
And it's the same size gym. And although more people hear personal train per head, you know, the perception of personal training is if you have spare money, go invest it with a personal trainer. Or in the UK, every person's like, hey, don't waste your money with a PT, you know. And I very much struggled to build a business from the sense that three reasons, I suppose. One, I had an online business and a face-to-face business that made it very difficult to try and, you know, I only like having one pair of flip-flops because if I have two pair of flip-flops, I'm torn between which ones I want to wear.
Sure.
You know, and I'm a very simple man. Like, so I didn't know where to really focus my energy with that. Second reason was that face-to-face wasn't as great as I remembered it. And it sounds bad to say, I couldn't wait, banter on the gym floor. Hey, you know, you know what, lift your chest up, tuck your chin, this is what we're doing today, high-fiving your clients. That wasn't what I remembered it to be. And also, it wasn't my business.
Sure.
You know, I was signing on clients where this franchise were taking a cut. And that really made it hard for me to motivate myself.
Yeah.
And I remember some days, you know, I had this mentor who was paying my overheads. And he said, oh, are you in work today? And I was like, oh, no, I'm at the doctor's. And I wasn't at the doctor's, I was at the beach. I didn't want to go to work. I didn't want a personal train.
Sure.
I didn't have much money. And, you know, I remember my housemates messaging me, oh, Smith, how's work? And this is in March, so not long ago, maybe February.
Yeah.
And I had my head in my hands, and I go, boys, I fucking hate it. I was like, I'm absolutely hating personal training. I'm hating my gym environment. I've got a very hostile environment in the gym I was in Sydney. I thought to help boost my kind of, you know, I started posting things on Instagram and tagging myself in that gym
yeah.
a few months before I started.
Right.
So what I didn't realise was everyone else in that gym was like, who the fuck is this guy?
And he's not even here yet, yeah.
So when I turned up to work, even to this day, I'd say probably 20% of personal trainers still haven't introduced themselves to me.
Wow.
And it was a pretty hostile environment where, you know, on my first day, I'd be like, hey, my name's James, and people would be like, you right? And they'd just carry on with their own thing.
Wow.
It's very clicky. There are PTs in that gym that live together, you know, being English, being new, there are all these factors.
Sure, sure, yeah.
To not feel welcome in my own place of work was pretty shit, if I'm honest. And, you know, I remember probably one day in particular, I thought, fuck this shit. I was worried because without this job, would I be able to afford to live in Oz? And I got a whiteboard, I got some marker pens, and I came home early from work and I stuck it up on my wall, still there now.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm just going to fucking smash some content.
Good.
I was like, every day.
What a story.
I'm going to do my hours. Yeah, and I was like, I'm just going to hit everything I can. And people are like, oh, you're so motivated. For me, it was back against the wall. I didn't want to move back in with my mum and dad.
Yeah, it's that kind of like that gun to the head thing. Yeah, yeah.
And you know, I got home and I'd think about things that I was going to do. And funnily enough, the reason that I wore my baseball cap back to front in my videos is because my hair, I've been personal training all day. I'd have like bed hair almost, like, you know, from spending the whole day at work. I put my baseball cap on so people couldn't see that, you know, I'd been up 12 hours, so I didn't look rough.
Sure, sure.
Which has kind of become like part of
the image. Absolutely. Yeah.
And then every day, I just come home, then the social things start growing a bit. And it's still very strange for me because I've compiled a list of all my idols in the industry. I used to think to myself, like, they're never going to see me coming, you know. I remember the first ones, like, overtaking Phil Graham, Mark Coles. I was like, no one knows I even exist.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I was chatting to Martin McDonald. He was like, yeah, you understand everyone knows you fucking exist now.
Yeah. But dude, let me just stop you there because I think I first saw one of your videos around about April and then sort of like your page, give you a follow. Like, this is really interesting, like getting to know you, you know, because a lot of people would think you're very brash and controversial, but it's great because you're showing the true story of what happened. So, like, literally, your life has changed within a matter of months. I mean, like, your social media didn't just grow, it fucking exploded, dude. How was that? I know you've got the academy now and, you know, I can guess the kind of numbers you're doing. So you've literally gone from penniless to having a pretty fucking successful business, right? So when did that transition kind of come from, like, when did you just move it all into the academy? When did you stop the one-to-one in Sydney? What were you doing in between and how was that?
So in May, I made the decision to buy out for my franchise.
Yep.
My online personal training was going quite well. And the funny thing was, all the personal trainers that I was working with in the franchise, I'd say to them, they were like, oh, what's your grateful thing of the day? And I'd be like, oh, my social media following. But I realised they didn't give a fuck because they weren't making any money from it. They just wanted me in the gym. So there was this direct conflict where, you know, they'd be like, yeah, it's cool, you got 800 likes on the video, but you're not getting any more one-to-one clients. We don't give a fuck. So then in May, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to buy out. Here's your 10 grand back. I'm out. I'll run my own PT business on the side, do all of that. And then it was pretty audacious of me. I was like, I'm going to do a fucking seminar. I was under the influence that if I hosted a seminar in the UK that I could claim my flights back. So, but I still haven't found out if that's even possible.
Right.
And I was like, fuck it, I'm going to do a seminar in Bracknell. I put 100 tickets up. And I only had 11,000 followers at this point. And the tickets went.
Wow.
20 quid each. And then I was like, oh, I called up the hotel in Bracknell. I was like, can I have a bigger room? They were like, yeah, absolutely. So then I ended up having 190 people to my first seminar. And
wow.
I made like, yes, first fun. And my parents came along to it. My parents at this point only, they were like James's personal trainer. You know?
And
even then they don't know what I do. They've never been to a gym, my parents. And suddenly I was making like 7 or 8 grand for a day's work.
Yeah, yeah.
And funnily enough, when I flew back in May, so it was May the 15th this year, I still had my return ticket from Air China. So although I'd sold out an event that was going to make me 7-8 grand for a day's work, I still flew back Air China. I still had the 13-hour stop-off in Beijing. And, you know, I was still in the sense that, you know, I was going to do it. It was pretty weird. I'm sat on this fucking Air China flight where I'm not allowed to get my phone out. You know, there's no movies on it in English. It was fucking awful. But I was still, you know, the same guy. I was not going to waste money on anything.
Sure.
I went home, did this seminar, and that was, everyone says, was it amazing? I go, it's fucking weird. I wasn't nervous.
Dude, let me stop you there. Because, like, literally, you'd only really started to blow up a couple of months before, and you did a seminar for trainers?
No, it was for General Pop. I called it Fundamentals of Fat Loss. And to be perfectly honest with you, I only wrote it 2 weeks before I got home.
Yeah, it's what we all do, but
it was just a bit of banter. Like, I had a good laugh. It was about 2 segments of an hour and a half. And there were people there. Some girls even had T-shirts made that said, squat like James Smith is watching.
Brilliant, dude.
And that was a real realisation. And I met a lot of my online clients that came along to it. And I was like, fucking hell, like, I must be kind of making waves a bit if this is the case. So I sold out that event at 11,000. By the time I flew home to do it, I was at 30,000. Saw my family for a bit, you know, went to Bournemouth Sevens, came back to Australia. Then my friends were like, come, let's sail Croatia. Let's go back to Croatia, same festival where it all happened. Flew back there. When I was on the boat, I hit 50,000. So this is July.
Dude, so how many likes were you getting? What was the, how many was it going up by a week? Like, we're talking thousands.
Yeah, so there was one point just after Croatia where I got 14,000 in a week.
No paid ads.
No paid ads. So there's a few things, and like, you know, you say like you make your own luck.
Yeah, of course, dude. This is an amazing story, mate.
I say this thing where my mates say to me, they're like, why the fuck do you message back everyone in your inbox? Why don't you get a chat bot? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? And I say a thing, I said, you never know who Maria Wang is. So this lady called Maria Wang messaged me. And she was like, hi, James, really liked your female fat loss video. I can't find it. Can you get me a link? The first thing I thought is, fuck.
I've
got to now sift through my video. And then I thought, you know what? I treat everyone the same. And I was like, this could change this woman's life. Go through, find the link, go back to her, post it. And suddenly, I start getting all these likes. And then people are like, James, your video is going fucking viral in America. This lady, Maria Wang, hosted a page with 400,000 followers in California.
Boom.
Most of our audience being women. And it fucking just lit off in America. And,
brilliant.
You know, I thought to myself, and even to this day, it's why I do reply to everything, because you never know who people are. And,
sure.
You know, there were things like that, and, you know, even then, 50,000. By the time I got on my flight back to Australia, it was 60,000. And, you know, at the moment, I probably get between 4,000 and 8,000 new likes a week.
Dude, how has that been? I mean, like, look, 30 plus, mate, I've got a very successful business. We've got 20,000 likes on our page. We've got a massive list. And I remember the early days of my success and really just being like, yeah, this is fucking, before the kids come along, and they've grounded me a lot. But how has, let's be honest now, right? Honest conversation. You've gone from making no money to a lot of money, from being somebody nobody knows to being somebody everyone knows. How have you dealt with, how has that been for you, buddy?
Still the same word I'd use is kind of weird. So in Sydney, I've been walking down the beach and, you know, I was with my girlfriend the other day and someone walks past and I'm like, James Smith, you fucking legend, high five me. I was in Brisbane for the Ashes a couple of weeks ago and my phone was getting messages. Oh, James, you've just seen your lookalike at the Ashes. There was one night out where in a bar in the space of 10 minutes, three people came over for a photo. And then I'm in a queue to get into a club. This girl goes, I know who you are, come with me. Walks us up, VIP, free drinks in this fucking club. She's like, oh, I run this club while I'm building a PT business. I love your stuff. And for me, like, when people go, oh, you know, I love your stuff, I'm like, you sure this is the right person kind of thing? Because, you know, it all has happened so quick.
And yeah.
The weird thing was, like, you know, Jamie Alderton, I followed him for years.
Yeah, yeah.
And he turns up in my inbox. And I'm like, what the fuck? You watch my videos?
Yeah, yeah.
It's still very surreal for me to kind of come to terms with. And, you know, with even little things like when we set up the academy, we were making quite a lot of cash and we weren't even set up as a fucking business. And we went to meet with some big four accountancy firms, you know, met with Deloitte and PwC.
I saw that. I'm on your email list. I read that email. Yeah, yeah.
I sat in PwC and I was like, we're not big enough to be here. I was like, my business isn't big enough to be set up as fucking big four accountants. And then they meet us and they're like, boys, you've got a big business. You know, they're like, you've got, you know, a lot of cash you need to sort out, you know, company structure, you know, employment contracts.
Yeah, yeah. And you're like, yeah. And we're talking what?
About, yeah, I don't understand half the things.
Mate, you're like me, mate. I don't. That's why I got business partners. Yeah.
So I can't believe that my name's on the door. That's probably one of the strangest things that, you know, I feel like I'm working for an organisation. I feel like I've got my daily roles. It's just very strange for me to think that my name's on the front of it, or, you know, even to this day, it feels very weird that I'm changing people's lives.
Amazing.
And I probably shouldn't use the word weird. I should say wonderful or great. Even I was doing some down the beach, got chatting to a girl doing some chin-ups, and she messaged me on Instagram. And I was like, hold on. Did you just find me on Instagram? She goes, no, I've been following you for months. So I was like, but you didn't say anything. She was like, oh, you know, everyone here follows you. And I was like, oh, all right, you know.
Cool.
Well,
amazing.
If I'm at a festival now, people come over, James Smith, you fucking legend, you're cooked. I'm
like, yeah. Brilliant. I love your honesty, dude. I really do. I really admire that honesty. And I think that's a rare thing in the industry. You are what you are. And I like that, dude. You're talking to an ex-nightclub promoter, ex-raver, so I know the form. I'm 39 now with two kids, mate, so I can't go missing. Maybe once a year. Although there is a Fantasia rave on in Bristol on New Year's Eve. I might say. Actually, I'm 40 next year, and one of my goals is, along with all the physical challenges, is to go to a three-day rave and lose my marbles and then retire. So if you fancy it, dude, yeah? Fantasia down in Pontins in March.
I don't think I could do 3 days.
Nah, no, nor me. So look, when did you? I'm really enjoying this, by the way, mate, and I really appreciate your time. We're on about 45 minutes now, but we'll keep trucking as long as you're happy. We've not even started talking about really the nitty gritty yet. But when did you set the academy up? Why was the transition to open up the academy? Was it basically your time in that? Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, come June, come July, demand for PT is growing, and I'm never going to say no. And I should have commoditized online PT. I got to the point where I was charging £65 a week. And that's a lot of fucking money. Mm. And even me providing the service, I was like, that's a lot of fucking money. And I remember I had a vision board. So probably the best thing about that franchise is maybe do a vision board.
Yeah.
And I usually say, this is the fucking, you know, I'll be careful with words I use. This isn't me. This isn't
no, you've got to do it, man. Yeah, yeah.
Put it up on the wall, you know, 30,000 followers by the end of the year, financial targets, books to read, all of that. I even put a lifetime target of hitting 100,000 followers. That was a lifetime target. And I had to put the money that I built for the month. And I remember April, I did $12,000. It was March, I did $12,000. April, I did $12,000 again, but $200 less. And it really fucking... You know, it didn't sit with me well that I was in decline. Then May, I did my number crunching and I made $28,000. So, you know, wow. I literally, you know, nearly tripled the amount I was earning. But at the same time, I was on my laptop all day.
Yeah.
You know, I had a twitch in my eye for about a month from caffeine.
Sure.
And I very much realised that I was actually doing the same 20 things over and over again. Hi, how are you? Here's your introductory email. Thanks for joining up. Send me a video. You know, go here, we're going to work out your calories, let's explain to them, you know, protein, you know, flexible dieting, you know, let's do this, let's do that, show me around your gym, let me get you, this is your program one, this program two, and then there was this notion in my head that I could just automate this.
Boom.
I don't need to be here on the floor, and funnily enough, I met a personal trainer in my gym, it was another English guy called James. It was the only reason I had a reason to talk to someone. I was like, oh, you're the other James. And I said to him, you know, how long have you been PT? And he goes, oh, I'm actually on my way out of here. I go, why? He goes, I'm building websites. And I was like, you know, I've got an interesting kind of opportunity. He's now my business partner. He's an introvert. He fucking couldn't imagine anything worse than being on camera.
Sure.
And even in the period where I didn't have much money, I was squirreling away about $400 a week to pay him. So, you know, £200-£300 a week to pay someone to build a website from scratch isn't a huge deal. And the idea was, I said to him, I'm going to launch this when I hit 10,000 followers. And, you know, the only aim was to convert 1 in 10. I was like, it's 1,000 paying members, £20 a month. That's fucking £20,000 a month. That's what I want to do, blah, blah, blah. And he set me very straight and very narrow. He's the logical thinker. I call him the brains.
Brilliant.
And he sat with me before I went to Croatia and he goes, you've got a business opportunity that not many other personal trainers are ever going to have. If you fuck this up, no one will ever buy from you again. And I thought, fucking hell, mate. It's a bit. So we pushed it back, you know, started making it a little bit better. And even if I look back at how it looked when we launched it, it's fucking embarrassing.
You only get paid for done, my friend. Yeah, yeah.
But Phil Learney said, if you're not embarrassed with your first product, you didn't release it soon enough. And, you know, we got it launched, we started putting the content. And when I launched it, it very much motivated me to work on it. And we ended up launching it when I had 50,000. So, you know, that was a lot further down the line than I thought. And it was the day I got back from Croatia, he messaged me, he goes, we're going to fucking do this or what? You know, in Australia, they say, we're not here to fuck spiders. And I thought, let's do it. You know, let's launch it, blah, blah, blah. I said, my goal is within 3 months, we're going to have 1,000 members. And within 3 weeks, we had 1,000 members. And I was like, holy fuck, you know, this is mad. And we had to kind of evolve the platform a lot. And, you know, the best thing now is that, you know, I've accepted being a personal trainer. I'm sure you can imagine you want to do everything yourself. Marketing, I'll do it. Sales, I'll do it. PT, I'll do it. Tax return, fucking I'll do it. But I gave a pretty large stake of the business to this, you know, the guy that built the site. And he runs all the technical side of things.
You need that.
Oh, you know, and he gives me checklists of things to do. You know, if my social engagement dips, he goes, Jim, I need you to put out more videos.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
you know, password resets, queries, things like that, all his side of the business. And it's great to have him as a supporting network. And there are a couple of coaches within Sydney that I trust. And the programming element was very hard for me to stay on top of. So I employed a couple of coaches where I said, look, I'm going to pay you money. You help me with the programming. You help me keep everyone happy in the Facebook group. And at the same time, by all means, use this platform to build your social following and your awareness. And these guys can now call me and they go, hey, James, I'm about to go live. What would you recommend? And I'm like, hey, make sure your phone's sideways. Make sure you're connected to good Wi-Fi or 4G. You know? And I'm helping those guys Brilliant. Build their brands.
Brilliant.
And people are now messaging me going, oh, you know, I love Darren, who is one of your coaches. And, you know, it's given them an identity, which I'm completely fine with. And I'm open to people now. When the onset, I had this kind of facade that I was doing everything. But now I say to people, no, it's me and the team. And, you know, we're trying to create this kind of the community aspect. I'm sure you're well aware of this. Yeah. It's so much more powerful than I ever realised.
Yeah.
And, you know, I still put new content, like one video a day. And, you know, little things, James, hey, can you help us understand front squat? Yeah, no worries. And for me, instead of managing 40 online clients, I've got a community of thousands, but they say to me, James, can you do this? I go, do you know what? I'm going to skateboard into the city. I'm going to film it. I'm going to upload it for you in the next couple of hours. And from the end user, they pay £22 a month. They get anything they want.
Yeah.
And for me, on the other end, I've suddenly got a scalable business where I can try and deliver to all these people.
Yeah.
And because we're quite cash rich as well, you know, we put this challenge out. I was like, let's fucking fly someone to Sydney.
I saw that.
Piss for a week. So whoever makes the best progress in the last month two now, we've said to them, look, whoever makes the best progress, circumstantial as well, because, you know, someone could have lost 30 kilograms, but if there's a care worker who works night shifts who, you know, lost 4 kilograms despite having a very stressful life, that person impresses me more. I want that person. You know, we're going to do like a X Factor kind of thing and pick them. And I was like, you know what? I said to my business partner, let's put $10,000-$15,000 to the side and fucking give someone the best week of their life.
Amazing.
And
yeah.
We said to him as well, we're going to fucking become travel agents. Next challenge, I'm thinking, let's take 3 people to Bali.
Brilliant.
You know, and really incentivize people where, you know, I've kind of built this brand where, you know, if it was Joe Wicks or Jamie Alderton, you know, they'd be like, what the hell are they doing? Go, well, Jamie Alderton likes to drink. But, you know, for me, I'll get them on their Insta story, straight arm in bottles of wine. You know, people are like, oh, classic James Smith.
Yeah, yeah. But that's you, buddy.
You know, as a concept, people go, oh, it's a fucking good idea, actually, what you're doing then. But I feel it was almost something that was just missing. You know, even, you know, bodybuilding.com have something kind of similar. But people would rather pay, you know, £20. They've got access to recipes, you know, they've got the coaching support. We even have a 24-hour chat box where people go, oh, I don't know what hypertrophy means. Oh, it means this.
Yeah.
And, you know, having that platform and managing it as a job just means I've got a better work-life balance. And also, this sounds weird, for the first time in my life, I feel like I'm delivering to people and it's worth the money.
Fantastic.
Because even when I did personal training, for £55 an hour, although I deliver as much as I could, I go, fucking hell, that's expensive.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
With online PT, I almost had this kind of imposter syndrome that I was like, why are people paying me so much money? I couldn't ever consider paying myself the amount I was paying myself.
Yeah. It's very interesting because I do a lot of the one-to-one online coaching, and you almost think that, how often do I have to talk to these guys? Do I need to talk to them every day? Do we need to call every day? Do we do this? Do we do that? And, you know, one thing I learned from a mentor was actually, you know, you might only talk to them for 5 minutes a week, but if that 5-minute conversation is enough to add value to their life and change their life, then it's worth it. But I totally get where you're coming from, dude. So look, let's get into the fitness industry and trends, et cetera, et cetera. And I know what you spoke about before. You said, when you got into the industry 4 or 5 years ago, it was all about clean eating, etc. Well, look, I'm 10 years older than you. I'm 11 years older than you. When I got into the industry, James, they taught us the food pyramid, right? So when I got out of that, I was giving, you know, college mums 6 portions of carbohydrates a day, and some of my original clients got fat. There's no word of a lie. I was like, yeah, you've got to have your cereal when you get up. Mid-morning, you know, maybe a couple of rice cakes, then lunch is a jacket potato, and it was crazy. But there was never any talk about calories, right? And then fast forward a couple of years, I was based out of a CrossFit gym in Cardiff. I got really into my CrossFit. I know you're a fan. And it was CrossFit and paleo. It was CrossFit, you know, it was coconut oil. It was like no carbs. It was very little carbs. And actually, I got really lean doing CrossFit and paleo, but it was before I had kids. tiredness and leftovers, and that's a fucking lethal combination, which I'm sure you'll experience one day. And then it kind of moved into, I'm not going to sort of name names, it was this whole super clean eating, it was detoxification, it was alkalizing the body, it was, you know, food's got toxins, insulin, and actually, mate, and I've spoken very honest about this, that really fucked me up. Because I was trying to be the ultimate clean eater with two young kids under the age of three, constantly in and out of hospital. They had a lot of things going on, constantly knackered and failing and binging every Thursday and thinking, oh, fuck it, I'll start again on Monday because, you know, I've had bread now or I've had a bag of crisps. I may as well get like 12 cans on the way home and a fun sized bag of crisps because I didn't understand about calories. And really fucked me up for a few years, mate. And then I remember sort of seeing this talk about if it fits your macros and flexible diet. And I was like, what? Eat chocolate and get you lose weight and this and that. And I was like, I was really anti it because I was like promoting this clean eating message. Yeah, I couldn't adhere to it myself. You know, trying to chug down these fucking awful greens drinks in the morning. And, you know, having my 6-egg omelette in coconut oil and, you know, spinach with everything. And I remember thinking to myself, what's this flexible diet? And then, you know, started to research it, started to actually track my calories, realized I could get lean and still have fruit pastel lollies. And it kind of brings us to now. And I don't know about you, buddy, but I think now the industry is a lot more common sense based. Because we understand calories in, calories out. What's your take, buddy? You do the talking.
I found that in the onset, very much like you, you know, I was left with this notion that, you know, fats don't make you fat, carbs make you fat. That was the first one. Then I'd, you know, fucking Wikipedia insulin and be like, it's a storage hormone, stay away from it, you know. Then I inevitably went low carb and I was having bacon and eggs every day. Boom. Like, oh, I need to start your day with bacon and eggs. And, you know, oh, but my energy's much better. Well, yeah, you know, I was probably fairly insulin resistant, you know, starting as a PT, and I was eating fucking breakfast biscuits, you know. And no wonder there was fluctuations in energy or whatever it was. And then, you know, you kind of find these influences in the industry, and, you know, the first one that I really attached onto was Phil Learning, and his podcast.
Feels great, you know, man.
Fucking unbelievable. And then I started getting this fundamental understanding of energy balance and, you know, all of these concepts. You know, he would say things, even to this day, I probably listened to his podcast four times each episode, and he'd be like, you know what, I like, you know, CrossFit, we have to make considerations for impact. And I'd be like, do you know what, he's got a fucking point there. You know, and it would get my mind working that, you know, CrossFit isn't bad, but there have to be considerations for impact. And, you know, he'd talk about gluconeogenesis, he'd talk about all these kind of concepts, and I'd go away, and if I didn't understand them, I'd keep repeating them. And then a lot of people latched onto Poliquin and, you know, everything he had. I found that Phil Learney was very much a common sense approach, and I started very much following him. And then I started branching out. You know, there was the Phil Graham's of podcast.
Yeah, love Phil.
You start to draw these kind of lines together of, you know, all right, this person said this person's said this, and you kind of pick and choose who you learn from. Then I went into Phil's ACA, which, you know, was great again in the sense that I was kind of learning. And I'll be honest, that in the first few years, similar to yourself, you know, I was churning, burning, there was no continual personal development. And one thing, the trends that I've really got on in the last few years is this evidence-based approach.
Yeah.
And what I love about Martin McDonald's stuff is, you know, I won't lie, every time I post something, I get these insecurities that I could be wrong. And that is something that's crippled most of our industry. But, you know, I'm actually a bit of a Nazi when it comes to making sure that I'm right about stuff, because I don't want to play the risks. And I think that when I put a lot of content out, people go, you know, it's very blasé, it's very fuck keto. But what people don't understand is that for me to post that, I've done the homework, you know. And having influencers like Martin, having, you know, people like that in the industry that go, this is the case because this evidence supports this evidence supports that. I now kind of have a following of all these evidence-based approach people.
Yeah.
What it does is it kind of bulletproofs my insecurities.
Your message, yeah. It's very interesting. I remember, sorry to just jump in, James. I remember when Martin McDonald kind of blew up. Martin's a friend of mine and he's been on my podcast, and he was like really hammering Joe Wicks, and I was thinking, who's this fucking bully? Yeah, he was there like talking about fats and, you know, this, that and the other, and I was like, wow. And then I kind of like, because he was controversial, probably a little bit like yourself, started to follow him. And in the end, I was like, do you know what? I've got to get this guy on the podcast. And he came on and it was fantastic. And it is, it does make you question like evidence, because a lot of the courses I went on in the past, you get so sucked in, but they weren't based on evidence. You know, I remember going to some courses thinking, right, I'm never going to use a microwave again. I'll never put my phone to my ear because I'll get a brain tumor. I must eradicate all stress because if I'm stressed and I'm sat in front of the telly, I'm going to be gaining belly fat. But we were all on that. We were all. I've been on courses where there's 400 people in a room being told this, and everyone's buying into it.
I tell you what, there's going to be some research that comes to light soon about, you know, the rep pyramid, strength, hypertrophy, endurance. They're blowing that out of the water now. To the amount of reps you do in a leg extension, whether you work at 30% or 80% of 1RM, there's no impact in muscle growth. So what we're starting to find out now is that the amount of reps don't actually matter as much as what goes on. So, you know, and people have been basing, I've fucking done about 10 videos on that shit, you know, because we kind of accept it as gospel. And now that, you know, I'm not, what I don't want to do, I like to see myself in the industry as the middleman between the people that have the knowledge and the evidence and the people that need it. Because the niche that I kind of came across this year was, I thought, these people that I'm learning from are so fucking smart. Not Martin, but most of the others, but they're fucking boring. And, you know, I listened to a podcast for 45 minutes on caffeine. And I sat there with this kind of, I thought to myself, this is great, because there are not many other people, I would say charismatic people in the industry, that would just endure the amount of fucking bullshit that I just went through to back up my own knowledge on caffeine.
Sure.
And, you know, it's these little wins when I do shit like that where, you know, I get a kick out of it, because I go, all the people that are good in front of the camera probably don't fucking do the homework and listen to these boring fucks talk about caffeine for 45 minutes.
Sure.
And I see myself as that kind of middleman. And I know that a lot of people, you know, will often watch the videos and they'll be like, this guy's a fucking knob. But I think that the people that like the stuff so much understand my motive. They understand this guy's doing this because you need someone in front of you on fucking social to say, listen, put the fucking donut down, you fat prick.
Yeah, yeah.
This is what, and you know, it's probably the approach that I would need. And, you know, funny enough, actually, talking about Joe Wicks, I used to gun him.
I know, I saw what you said when you were with Jamie and you apologised to him on the back. But yeah, go on, tell the lads on the podcast.
And do you know what, funnily enough, I was chatting to Jamie about Joe Wicks, and you know, I saw the split screen and stuff like that. Jamie's like, he's a nice guy.
Yeah.
And you know, he probably excelled to stardom so fast. He made my acceleration look like, you know, very small in comparison. But I now kind of feel that maybe he accelerated so fast and to be in the position he is, he never had the opportunity like me or you did to actually make the mistakes and learn the fundamentals.
Yeah.
And now he's in a very tricky position where if he was to enroll into Martin's MNU or he was to reach out to someone in the industry and go, hey, look, I don't understand this, he'd be fucking sold out for papers.
And start doing a cookbook with the calories or something like that. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And then he'd be taken and people go, fucking Joe Wicks doesn't understand thermodynamics, whatever. And I can understand the position he's in. And after I spoke with Jamie, I said to him, I was like, fuck, you know, I actually feel kind of bad, but also reflecting on myself, I was like, James, you've been a bit of a fucking prick. And I emailed Joe Wicks last week, and I haven't actually told many people about this. And I said to him, like, Jamie said to me, he goes, you do know that Joe has seen your posts. He watches your videos. He keeps an eye, anything that's said about him, he sees.
Yeah.
And suddenly, do you know what? I was like, James, mate, you've been a fucking knob. So I emailed him and I said, look, Joe, you know, you may not know who I am, you may know who I am, you know, whatever. Just wanted to let you know that the main reason that I used to gun your stuff, your plan, whatever it was that I was incredibly bitter that you had such a large piece of the pie.
Yeah.
And I was like, honestly, looking back now that I've got a bigger piece of the pie, I can kind of understand, you know, there have to be automations, there have to be shortcuts made so that you can cater to large audiences. And he probably churns over more plans in a month than I have full members. And I said to him, look, I was incredibly bitter you had such a large piece of the pie. If our paths ever cross in the future, I just wanted you to know it was because, I was bitter, it was nothing personal. And I actually said to him, which is another thing that I'm a massive advocate of, is that you never get put down by people above you. And I said, you know, there's going to be 1,000 PTs like me that probably haven't written you an email. And he emailed me back about 2 hours later.
Fantastic.
He said to me, you know, He goes, James, never had an email like that. You know, it was very kind. You know, he was like, I'm a positive guy. I would never have taken it the wrong way. And, you know, it's, even with Martin, you know, I really, really like Martin. But, you know, we've got to make sure that we're not, you know, Martin's big advocate of, if someone's wrong, that's fine. Fucking gun him, call him a gimp. But if they accept that they were like, if they accept they were wrong and change their ways, great. The real people in the industry are those that, you know, I keep spouting this wrong message, despite people saying to them, look, ketogenic diet, no benefits to fat loss. Then they come back spouting all these benefits to fat loss.
Yeah.
Those are the real people in the industry that we should be fucking gunning.
Yeah.
Not so much, you know, big dogs like Joe Wicks.
Yeah, good for you, man. I bet that made you feel good. And especially when he got back to you.
Yeah, and you know what? It's so funny that, you know, what you see people in the industry being so far away. You know, untouchable. You see Joe Wicks in this massive cloud. But he's just a normal guy behind the same iPhone that you or I have.
Yeah.
The same. He goes into the same app that we do. And he has the same kind of, you know, everything. And 2 hours to get an email back from him as well.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like, it's actually quite a small industry.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Message. Phil Learney, I remember getting nervous going to one of his seminars.
Yeah.
Next thing, he says, hey, James, do you want to come round for breakfast on Monday? Brilliant. I'm like, fucking hell, you know.
I think that's the thing. It's like, is that the cops coming for you, dude? Is that the cops coming for you?
Yeah, probably. You know, Bondi. Yeah. Probably someone's, probably, yeah, they've, gotta go.
All right. I'll tell you what, though. I think the thing is now with social media, people are like, you know, like Facebook famous or Insta famous. And, you know, on my podcast this year, I've had everyone on. And people are like, oh my God, how'd you get Jamie Alderton? How'd you get Martin Ben Coomer? I said, I just messaged them. And it's the same with you. I put on my you know, status of the day, yeah, just secured James Smith. They're like, oh my God, how'd you do that? I was like, he's just a normal guy. I'm sure he's heard of what we do. And you just got to reach out, haven't you? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's, you know, even to this day, like, I'm an Academy member, and she goes, oh, James, I'm actually in Bondi. I was like, right, well, stay where you are. I'm going to come skateboard down to you and meet her. She's like, oh my God, are you serious? I was like, of course. You know, I'm like, very much just a normal guy there.
Yeah.
People that, you know, message me and go, oh, James, any idea of where's the good to go in Bondi? I'm like, fuck yeah, you know, I'm gonna message him, like, despite the amount of followers you have, you know, you still, the same as everyone else, yeah. You just message
exactly.
Me. You're like, oh, hey, you fancy doing this, yeah.
Exactly, dude. All right, look, let's keep cracking on, my friend. So, like, you've made like a real sort of effort, and in that your videos are quirky. They're 1 minute, they're to the point. You really sort of attack the likes of Aloe, you know, Herbalife, keto, and all this kind of thing. Why? And you know, we're good, you know, in a couple of weeks, people are going to be fucking gained a shed load of weight at Christmas. They're feeling sorry for themselves, and they're all going to go out and do this crazy stuff, right? So I can see why you're so passionate about getting this message out. Why do people still buy into these crazy things, like, you know, like the Aloe, I'm not going to say Weight Watchers or Slimming World. I used to give them a bit of a hard time a few years ago. But if somebody gets results doing that, do you know what? Fucking fantastic. I'm talking about the really kind of crazy stuff. The super, super low calorie stuff. Go on, I'll let you talk.
You know, I think that, sorry, it actually angers me that people can be so fucking gullible.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, I'm not putting a bad spin on the fitness industry, but we've kind of let this, or let the level of service that people provide in the industry has made it so even personal training in the UK, most personal trainers aren't delivering to clients. So, you know, people are now, their friends, oh, this trainer's useless, oh, I did PT with this guy for 8 months and nothing changed, you know, because people are still hugely incorrect. So, you know, when people have the option of where do you turn for help, the main people in the gyms aren't delivering. So people are now kind of, you know, they're lost. And, to some respects, I think people are either gullible or they're desperate.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of people on their deep down level, they know why they're fat, why they're overweight, but they're desperate. And, you know, every PT in their gym's a fuckwit, checking their abs all the time. You know, everyone on socials just got their fucking tops off. And, you know, no one's actually trying to help. And, you know, I follow these Insta-famous fucking chicks in Sydney, Bondi, and they're just talking about their fucking green tea discount code. You know, and no one's actually in the space trying to help people. And, you know, I remember in the day, again, Phil Learney, his content helped me as a personal trainer. And every time I watched it, light bulb, fucking hell.
Yeah.
That's great. And it kind of got to a point where, you know, I remember once where he said in this podcast, keep in mind a Romanian deadlift doesn't touch the floor. And me in my second year of lifting, I went, oh my God, fucking hell, absolutely right. And, you know, with all these fads that are going out there, people just need to be told, that's obviously fucking bollocks. Mm. And, you know, the two main drivers are, one, I don't want people wasting their money. And the second one is, if they're going to spend their money, fucking, you know, spend it somewhere where you actually get a return.
Yeah.
And, you know, I never really push for, you know, my academy on the end of videos and stuff, but I'm quite happy that I've kind of just stepped in the way between them and a useless fucking purchase. Like, you know, and for me to say to someone, aloe vera is fucking after sun, they go, oh my God, he's right.
I saw
he's
that right. Video, mate. It was fucking gold, mate. Gold.
And then, you know, I quite like the fact that, you know, I read some of my comments sometimes and people go, you know what, I was just about to buy this and I'm not anymore. Fantastic. Someone said to me the other day, their friend was thinking of having a gastric fucking bypass. And I was like, give me that person's number. I'm going to call them right now. You know, I was like, listen, what? To this day, I still can't believe the headspace someone must be in to think, I obviously need part of my stomach restricted.
Yeah.
You know, to have an invasive surgery to address the fact that you're putting too many items of calorie-dense food in your mouth every fucking day, you know, if you're going to have anything made smaller, have your mouth fucking sewn shut smaller, you know? Like, there's so much bullshit there because people go, well, it can't be the fact that I'm not eating enough.
Dude, and, you know... Do you know what? I'll jump in a sec there. I think that I said to you earlier about there's definitely a more of a common sense approach now. And there's never been a greater time to understand energy in versus energy out. You know, we've got MyFitnessPal and MyFatSecret and everyone's wearing a Fitbit or a Garmin, etc., etc. Years ago, people could say, oh, I just got a slow metabolism or it's this, it's that. Now, unless you've got a diagnosed metabolic syndrome, we know that you're just fucking, you're not moving enough or you're eating too much or it's a combination too. You can't dress it up, can you?
Even if you listen to Sigma Nutrition's most recent podcast with Martin's Debate.
Yeah, fantastic. I did, yeah.
He's a professor and he's fucking smart, one of the smartest dudes in the industry. He revolutionized how people saw hydration and he is fundamentally completely wrong about low carbohydrate and ketogenic diets because he is letting his confirmation bias blind any logic or evidence. And this again happens with people, you know. He has restricted carbohydrates in so many people's diet and seen it do so well that he's created a belief system for himself, although it doesn't line up with evidence or actual logic.
Yeah,
and, you know, people are the same, this confirmation bias. Well, Cindy did juice dieting, she lost 10 pounds, that must be the best way for me to lose weight because I'm like Cindy. Yeah. And, you know, that's the common sense thing. You're like, hold on, you know, fucking, and I'm glad that there was that guy, the professor in America who ate Twinkies and Oreos and he improved his blood cholesterol and lost a load of fat.
Yeah.
You know, we're now suddenly starting to get in front of people and go, look, it's the amount of fucking calories you're having.
Yeah.
You know, insulin resistance is a byproduct of obesity. Obesity isn't a byproduct of insulin resistance.
Yeah, dude, it's funny because, you know, when I took my methods online in 2013, it was fully paleo. I was a fully paleo master and it was all like, you know, don't have any sugar. And, you know, we eliminated so many foods. And I've actually come out in the last couple of years, well, the last 18 months, and gone, listen, and a lot of my followers, you know, we've got sort of 10,000 in our global group and 20,000 on the Facebook page, sort of said, Treggs, you know, fair play to you, because some people wouldn't have come out. And I said, look, maybe I was misguided. I only knew what I knew. I got results then doing that, but now I can give you a more of a balanced way. And I've not sort of ripped up the manual and started again, but there is a advice on tracking calories. There is this in there rather than being it's this restrictive type of paleo kind of way. And, you know, I've written articles recently which have got major traction about like how I believe that cereal made me fat. But actually, it wasn't the fact that I was eating cereal, it was the fact that I was eating too many foods and not moving enough. And, you know, once I experimented with different things, I realized that I could get lean doing CrossFit and paleo, but I could also get leaner eating fruit pastel lollies and doing kettlebells. You know, there's multiple ways to skin a cat, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Nail on the head there, really. And I think that when a lot of us with similar values are trying to align this kind of notion that, you know, you can lose considerable amounts of fat by just fucking walking every day. And then what we can start doing is, you know, if we educate enough people with knowledge, hey, you know, pick an exercise you like and restrict your fucking calories and just create balance. Mm. And suddenly, you know, we're going to have a much happier world, but we just got these fucking oil snakes and, like, people in the industry that, you know, I keep seeing people push keto. The reason I hate keto is more so the fucking trainers that have sold out and they're pushing keto plans and keto in 30 minutes and this shit. And, you know, hey, I don't want, even if it works for people, because I get it, it does work for some people, not having a beer. What kind of fucking life is that?
Exactly. Yeah.
It's fucked.
Yeah, exactly. Dude, excuse me, what was I going to say? Look, we've been talking for an hour and 15 minutes. So I can have another 15 minutes of your time, because I'm personally loving it, dude, right? I think you're really, really top low, man. I'm really enjoying
it. Everyone else has got a pause button, so they can pick and drop it whenever they like.
Perfect. So as we get to the end of the year, all right, let's say someone's not achieved their goals this year. I get very reflective and I sort of say to my clients, right, did you achieve your goals? No. Well, why did you think you didn't achieve your goals? Was the plan that you set for yourself too harsh, or was it this? And, you know, you talk a lot about self-development. I'm very much into that. And more, a lot of it, I think, comes down to this, James, and I'm pointing to the old grey matter, the mindset. I really believe you can give people access to the best trainers, the best nutrition plan, but if this isn't right, there's a lot of reverting back to type, right? Now, I saw some pictures of you at uni. You had a bit of a belly on you, mate. All right. So no, but I think the thing is, I've been overweight. You've been overweight, and I think a lot of these trainers out there, they can't empathise because they've always been shredded. So you changed your ways, okay? How much was that down to your mindset, buddy?
Yeah, I think a lot of it is, and, you know, even I have times where at the moment where I think I could be lean, I could be this, I could be that. I suppose. One correlation I'll probably draw it to, again, is rugby. And when I was younger, when I was playing, I'd just beat myself up that I didn't play at a high level. And then I thought to myself, do you know what? If I spent 17, 18, 19 off the VK Blues and fucking, you know, out doing hill sprints and all that, I could have played at a better level. But at the end of the day, I still think to myself, no matter what level I would have played at, it's still 80 minutes with a few pals. And drawing a correlation with that to, you know, physique now, and, you know, oh, I could have a fucking six-pack. The reason that I probably didn't, you know, spend so long doing all of that when I was younger was, you know, I wasn't prepared to give up the things I loved. I was just quite happy to play rugby with my mates for 8 minutes. And now that I've got a little bit older, I'm actually kind of still in that mindset where, you know, I'd probably sit at a higher body fat percentage than most PTs, but I'm not really prepared to give up the things that I love as far as breakfast, going out for coffees all the day. You know, I was a bit hungover half an hour ago. I decided to get a croissant. For no reason. I didn't log down my fitness pal. I just saw it and I thought, I fucking want that.
Yeah.
And, you know, as long as, I think that your body has to serve you a purpose. And I think that if people come to the end of the year, and, you know, they, similar to me, they've gone on, I'm not as lean as I want to be. You know, are you comfortable? Are you able to, you know, get your kit off and still feel happy about yourself? Are you still quite happy to shag your partner with the light on? Those are the things that are really important to me. And I think that getting my head around that, you know, that I always had this notion. I actually was in my probably best shape when I got to Sydney. You know, I've been doing CrossFit. I came off the back end of CrossFitting every day for probably 3-4 months and counting my calories. I was very lean. Under this notion that I wouldn't have been taken seriously in Sydney as a personal trainer if I wasn't lean.
Sure.
And, you know, now I've got my head around it. I'm like, you know, the most important thing for us is to deliver to the people paying to us. And I think the most important people, the lesson for people, you know, the goals aside, is to make sure that they're learning, they're developing, and they're happy. Because, you know, a lot of people, a lot of clients I've had over the years, I'm like, look, when you first signed up with me on the direct debit, you wanted to be 3 stone lighter, but you're not 3 stone lighter. But they go, no, James, not unhappy. I've got balance, I'm having my cake and I'm eating it. And, you know, even just saying some people that they feel like they're deferring, you know, health issues for another 20 years in a sense, because I honestly feel that when people come to have a consult with us as trainers, they tell us what we want to hear. They don't actually, you know, I'm like, do you really, you know, the amount of women you've probably trained, they go, oh, I want to have a six pack. I'm like, listen, if I told you what's required, trust me, you don't want a six pack.
Yeah.
You want to have a firmer set of legs, a firmer bum, and you want to be able to have your Reese's Pieces without getting fat.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, a huge deal of it is mindset, and a huge deal of it for me is kind of just meeting myself halfway, because if I'm inspired to have abs in Sydney, it's just not going to happen, and that's going to have a detrimental effect on my training and my mindset. Whereas if I say to myself, hey James, mate, you know, keep yourself in decent nick, eat whatever the fuck you want, track your calories when your waistband starts increasing a bit, suddenly I'm a lot happier with that. And you know, it, like you say, it all starts up top. Because unless you set yourself realistic goals and enjoy the process, you're not going to fucking
do it. Dude, that's exactly what I was just going to say. Do you know what? Too many people, I think, I say to people all the time, like, I mean, I love my career. I love exercising every day. I'm very much into my kettlebells. I enjoy my exercise. I enjoy the training. I enjoy the journey. And I think too many people have forgotten to enjoy the journey. They're just so obsessed with this end destination. I want to be like that. Fucking enjoy the journey, man. Just enjoy the feeling that being healthier gives you. It's like, I was saying to a couple of clients, like, I've suffered with anxiety and depression in the past. I work with a lot of over 30s men that suffer the same. You know, you got to understand there's a lot of people now, financial pressures, kids, careers. You still there, dude? You still there? Oh, have we lost him? Hang on a sec, guys. Get James back. Let's hope to get him back on. Stay with us, guys. I'm going to give him a quick call back. Ooh. Right, let's give him a call back, guys. Just bear with me. Okay, just bear with me. Just bear with us, guys. I'm going to try and get him right back on in a second. Hope you're enjoying the content so far, guys. We're going to try and get James back on. Just giving him a call. Oh, he's messaging me now. 2 minutes, he's saying. I think his battery went. No issues. All right, guys, just bear with us. Don't know what's going on with his phone, but he's gonna patch back in a second. So, guys, I hope you're getting some good value from this. I'm just checking my Facebook. I've got like 33 notifications. So, looks like the Facebook page has blown up since I announced I'd be talking to James. Guys, probably going to talk for another 10 minutes. I'm just trying to kill a little bit of time here before he calls back in. But other than that, guys, we're all good. Don't think I can pause it, actually, at the minute. I'd have to start recording again. So let's hope he comes back in now, guys. All right, just bear with us a second. I'll see if I can edit this out. Otherwise, you just have to fast forward a little bit. All right, guys. Hope you're getting some good value from this anyway. Excuse me. Calling back now, guys. Video chat. Let's get the video chat. Yo, yo!
Were you a bit upset editing back in on that?
Yeah, no, it's fine. I just spoke for a little bit, bud. We're going to do 10 more minutes, all right?
Yeah, that's perfect. So you just got to the point where you said you suffered with anxiety.
Yes. So what I tend to do, you know, a lot of our clients, kids, careers, a lot of financial pressure this time of year, darker mornings, darker nights. A lot of the workouts that I do for myself and a lot of workouts I set for my clients is based around just like literally we do a lot of Tabata training. Just stuff which is going to get the feel-good chemicals released in their head, get them sweating, and just get them feeling good, get their mind clear. So like this, in December, I've barely done any strength training, but everywhere I've gone, I've just taken a kettlebell with me. And you know what it's like, buddy? There's more boozy nights out. I was at a wedding yesterday, got really drunk. So all I'm doing is just like 30, 40 minutes in my living room every day, just swinging a kettlebell, slamming a med board, doing squats, jumps, lunges, push-ups. Just stuff that really I really enjoy, do you know what I mean? Which makes me happy. And it comes back to the old thing about, you know, enjoy the journey and do what makes you happy. So if somebody doesn't like the gym, all right, but you tell them they can go and play five-a-side and create a calorie deficit, then go and do that. Go and fucking walk and create a calorie deficit. Enjoy the journey and do what makes you happy, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think something I've got into recently is Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
Ah.
And my God, that is some of the... Being strangled by fully grown men and trying to fight your way out of that is a real calorie burn. And, you know, my weight training has kind of fallen off the back of it. And, you know, the other day I was looking at my legs and I was like, my legs are getting smaller. Of course they're getting smaller. My squat frequency is probably reduced by threefold. And then I thought to myself, hold on, James. You know, you're fucking enjoying the shit out of your training.
Yes.
It's so removed from my life that, you know, I put a Komodo on and I fight fully grown men for an hour, you know, and it's so different to everything else. And I sometimes just have to remind myself, you know, despite your quads not looking the same as they did before, James, you're enjoying the shit out of your training You are churning through calories.
Yeah.
You know, that is freeing you up to eat more of the foods that you enjoy kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. It makes a lot of sense. So look, buddy, we're going to wrap up in about 5 minutes, but I want to ask you about the future for yourself, but what I want you to just, no holds barred, right? If somebody come to you now, so a client's come to you, they've not achieved their goals in 2017, what advice would you give them now for 2018 to actually make it their fucking year and to achieve their goals?
First thing would be, you know, really digging in and delving into, is that their goal? Is really the reason they didn't achieve it because that's what they thought they wanted. That's what they thought was right. The amount of people that, you know, have said, oh, James, I want to feel fitter. And, you know, I'm like, well, is that actually a goal? Or, you know, let's really delve into that. Oh, do you know what? I want to wear a red dress that I haven't fit in since I was fucking 22. Okay, there's your fucking goal. That's not stupid. You set it out there. That's cool. All right, how far are we off? And, you know, I hate organised people. You know, people stress me out when they're trying to sort out my diary for me. And it's something I'm really going to have to change myself. But there are processes in place that, you know, when operating a business, I know that I need to do simple things. I need to do my marketing email. I need to create new content. I need to do this. And when people have a goal, they have to create the steps in order to get it, you know. And I think that a lot of people just set this end goal and they don't really set any processes in place to achieve it. And, you know, make sure the goal is valid, make sure the goal is appropriate and they exist, and then make sure you have the right structures in place. You know, just wishing for it to happen isn't really going to do it. You know, you have to have your calories, you have to have your training, you have to have a minimum amount of sessions you're going to do in the week. Then you have to evaluate, you know, very simply, is it fucking working or is it not fucking working?
Yeah.
And it's black and white as far as that. People moan to me all the time and I'm like, well, is it fucking working? Yeah, it's working. All right, well, fucking, you know, what's the problem? Yeah, the two main things I think is people lack the processes and they, you know, they lack the actual goal. And although that, you know, a lot of my stuff is quite blasé and it's quite off the cuff, I still post at the same time every day.
I still
send off my captions at the same time. I still, you know, all of those things are processes. And, you know, my goal at the moment isn't fat loss. It's, you know, just to my business running.
Yeah.
And, yeah, the processes are so important, as I'm sure you're well aware.
So that takes me on to, buddy, right? You've had an amazing 2017. I bet, you know, you should reflect now, mate, on New Year's Eve and think about where you were this time last year, because there's, you know, there's no doubts about it, mate. It's been a good one for you. What's the plan for 2018? What's your goal?
The funny thing is, I was chatting to my friend the other day. She goes, you thought you killed 2016. She was like, you were buzzing your tits off on your plane back to the UK a year ago today going, I've just travelled Australia. Fucking dominated the East Coast. You know, I've had the best time ever. I sat on that plane going, my God, how is 2017 going to compare? And then I look back and I'm like, oh, fucking hell. Yes. You know, 160,000 new followers so far. You know, a million dollar business. You know, all these kind of things where I'm kind of like, fuck. And then I look at 2018 and my friend, same friend, she goes to me, you know, in 2020, you're going to look back at this year and laugh about how few things happened. You know, this is going to be trivial. I'm a very simple man at the end of the day, and, you know, day by day, I'm very short-sighted in the sense that by tomorrow, I'd like to have more followers than I have now.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, I'd like to have more Academy members. Tomorrow, I'd like to have more content. And, you know, there are some things that I have kind of in the pipeline, but it is very much tomorrow or 2018, I'm not like, I want this. I do probably need to get another vision board. It's just to continue to grow in every aspect of my life.
Yeah.
Where, you know, probably get a stripe on my white belt in jiu-jitsu, probably take my following up as high as I can. Hopefully I'll get to a quarter of a million followers next year, which is fucking mental. You know, and for me it is every day of 2018 I want to wake up and go, I'm in a better position than I was yesterday. And that's literally it. And that's really, you know, people go, oh, how'd you get so many followers? And well, I woke up every day thinking, what can I do today to get one more follower?
Yeah.
What can I do today to get one more person on my email list? Yeah. And that kind of, having that mindset, rather than being like, I want 100,000 followers, it was all about the one. It was all about day by day, what can I do?
And I think the thing is that if you're giving value, you're helping people, the world it comes back to you, you know, at the end of the day. I think this is, what would you say to anybody? This is slightly off topic from fitness. I mean, if you think about the year you've had, just to sort of go back from, didn't have a pot to piss in, you know, not many followers to where we are now. What would you say to anyone that's on the fence about maybe going and fucking living their dream and, you know, just going for it? What would you have, because like literally you have, in the space of 12 months, literally blown up. What would you say to anybody that's a bit sort of on the fence about going for a new job or just taking a fucking chance with a new business?
Don't be a fucking pussy.
Yeah.
That's what I'd say.
Yeah.
Like, I had this conversation with someone where, you know, there's so much risk in playing it safe. And, you know, I remember saying to my mate, on my Facebook came up about a year ago, I was sailing the Whitsundays, I was absolutely fucking hammered, I went live on my personal Facebook, and me and my mate at the end of it, whilst drunk on the Whitsundays watching the sun go down, said to each other, never leave yourself wondering what if. And it's probably one of the best fucking sayings ever.
Brilliant.
Where, you know, the only thing worse than coming to Sydney or going for a new job and it fucking up or whatever, you know, the worst thing than that is wondering, what if I took that job? What if I put that content out? What if, you know, I didn't go to Sydney? Like, if, you can't leave yourself wondering. And, you know, at the end of the day, if things go wrong, oh, well. You know, there were times in rugby where, you know, I think, I'm going to whack someone. I'm going to punch someone on the floor. And I thought, oh, what if he gets up and whacks me back? I'd be like, well, worst case scenario, I'll get knocked out. Worst case scenario, I might have to get a new front tooth. But at the end of the day, you know, it's all part of the fun.
Yeah.
And you can't live life, or you can't run around a rugby field, especially not in fucking Cinderford, being worried of getting punched back.
Yeah.
You know, you can't live life like that.
Yeah.
In fucking bubble wrap. And, you know, it's just, there was a great book called Legacy, which draws lines between rugby and business. So,
sure.
By the All Blacks. And it says, go for the gap. It's a policy that, you know, the All Blacks have. If you see a gap, fucking go for it.
Brilliant.
You know, if you do not propel yourself at that gap as hard as you can, it will close. And when gaps close, you get put on your fucking ass. So, you know, whenever people, if you think you have an opportunity in your job or, you know, in a fucking relationship, if whatever it is, if there's a gap, you have to fucking go for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And someone who played rugby for 10 years, trust me, put your head down. You know,
yeah.
And don't be worried. The second you think you might land on your ass, you fucking will be put on your ass.
Brilliant, mate. Absolutely brilliant. James, I've got to be honest, mate. 90 minutes. It's been great fun, buddy. I feel like I've known you all my life. Maybe it's that kind of Gloucester connection. I did just slightly off topic. Are you into your football? Because somebody just asked me, ask him what team he supports.
I cannot stand football.
There you go.
I cannot stand.
He's a rugby man.
You know, I used to play it when I was younger,
yeah.
And used to say that rugby was for a sport that men put their heads up each other's bums.
Yeah.
not a football man, I'm afraid. I can't answer it.
All right, fair enough, dude. Well, listen, I really appreciate your time, mate. I know you are slightly hungover. Are you about to go live on your thing? Because I'll join in.
Yeah, I will do. Yeah,
give us a shout, dude.
Piss off some vegans.
Yeah. We didn't talk about veganism, but we'll do this again, buddy. We will do this again. I feel the start of a beautiful beautiful friendship, buddy. I really appreciate your time. And I think this podcast is going to go down really well because I think a lot of people probably thought, he's not quite my cup of tea. I think we've really got to know you on this podcast. You're a good guy, mate. And we've got a lot in common, mate. So from getting fouled by a bike in Coney Hill... to a $1 million business and living on the beach in Sydney, mate. It's been a meteoric rise for you, mate.
Yeah, so we'll see where it goes. Next time we do a podcast, I'll be like, do you remember that time where I only had 170,000 followers?
Yeah, awesome, dude. Well, look, I really appreciate your time. Going to sign off now. So, guys, that was the 30 Plus Men's Fitness Podcast with myself and James Smith. James, really appreciate your time. Guys, you're going to get this on Christmas Day. So let us know what you think. I'm going to share the hell out of it. I'm sure James will as well. Oh, you better do. And give us a like and a comment on iTunes. And have a great Christmas with your families, boys. And keep trucking.